Yes, that's very true. Your number one talk radio station. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Very good morning to you, Namibia, wherever you're tuning in from. So you're welcome. Welcome to your favorite, your 24/7 talk radio station. A very good morning. It's winter creeping in. It's creeping in slowly by slowly. We started to feel it every morning now. It's getting in. It's getting in. So it's welcome. We welcome winter. We welcome winter. Different season. When you are in Rome, you do what the Romans do. So we adapt to the weather. So I love winter. So that's the best season for me. All right. Good morning. And welcome. Our time is about 7 minutes past the hour of 8. And this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So my name is Mike Oshaveli, and this is your daily dose of what is really going on. What is going on in business news, and economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always be curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, what you are saying, and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So welcome. Welcome. So it's Tuesday morning, and I hope your Tuesday morning is as pleasant as, you know, as mine. So mine is actually quite pleasant. It's a beautiful morning. So welcome. Welcome. Wherever you are listening us from. So, yeah, as usual, we start as normally. We look at the first segment that we look at is looking at, on this day in Africa, what happened on this day in Africa. So let's welcome our listeners from everywhere. You know, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful continent, wherever you're tuning in from across this beautiful continent. Welcome to another segment on this day in Africa, your daily trip through African history. So let's jump in. Let's get in. So way back on this day in 1978, something important happened in South Africa. So the Azania People Organization, you probably have heard that name before. If you're old enough, AZAPO for short, it was born. Azania was born. Now, here's the thing. AZAPO didn't just appear from nowhere. It didn't just appear out of nowhere. It grew out of something called the Black Consciousness Movement. Now, basically, it was a group of people who said, you know, we need to stand up. We need to be proud of who we are. So, you know, during apartheid, we are kind of made to feel that we are not, black is bad and all that. Now, this Black Consciousness is a movement now that stand up and that say we need to feel, we need to be proud of who we are, and we need to fight against apartheid. So, and they fight they did. AZAPO became a real force in the struggle of freedom, pushing for black empowerment and getting people politically aware. So, yeah, they wanted black South African to know their worth. Simple as that, okay? So, that's AZAPO, was born on this date. And now, we have to talk about something much harder. This is much harder. On April 28th, 1993, Africa lost some of its finest. The Zambia national football team, the whole team, the Chipolopolo, as they call it. So we're on their way actually to play a World Cup qualifier match the player, their plane took off from Gabon and it never made it. So their aircraft crashed into the ocean just off the coast. Now, so everyone on that plane, everyone on that plane, and all 30 people, players, coaches, crew members, they were all gone, just like that. So to this day, it's considered one of the saddest disaster, one of the saddest disaster in African sport history. A whole team wiped out. So family devastated and a nation actually in mourning. So today, we remember them and we honor them as well. And on a brighter note, around this time of the year, people across the Central Africa celebrate what they call Central Africa Day. And big organization like UNESCO mark the occasion too. They also mark this occasion. It's all about countries in the region, you know, working together, helping each other develop, you know, and facing challenges as neighbors. So not strangers, as neighbors. So, because when Africa unite, when we unite, we win. When we unite, Africa wins. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And join us again tomorrow for another walk through African history. All right. So, good morning. If you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're most welcome. You're welcome. And you just come on the right time. So we're looking at what is our thought of the day today? What is our thought for the day? Good morning, family, the Eagle FM family. Here is today's thought for the day. So our thought for the day is that those who have a friend in the kitchen don't starve. So if you have a friend in the kitchen, you wouldn't starve. Those who have friends in the kitchen do not starve. Now, this proverb is telling us that life becomes easier when you have good friend around you. Hopefully you have some very good people around you. So a true friend is someone who supports you, remembers you, and helps you when things are, you know, when things are tight. So it does not always mean food on the table. Sometimes it means advice, encouragement, you know, like time are tough nowadays, a job connection maybe, or a helping hand when you need it most. So today, let us ask ourselves, are we building real friendships or just collecting, you know, names? Because sometimes, yeah, this is my friend. Are we just collecting names? So because in hard times, it's not the loud crowd that matters most. So it's not the loud crowd that matters most. It is the people who stand with you when you need them. So stay kind, stay connected, and value the people who help you keep going. So that's your thought for the day. So we will be back. Stay tuned.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafasana nana nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi paregi uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo vengira selma konara hita tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, that's right. If you want to advertise your business and or maybe you just have an event, a function, a workshop, a conference, and you want to you want to broadcast that in real time. You need that real time exposure via live streaming or broadcasting. Well, contact our office. Our office number is 083-288-400. All right. So welcome. Thanks for coming back. Welcome back, and thanks for joining us if you're just joining us now. So what are we looking at today? What are we talking about? Yesterday, there was an article in The Villager by David Shombe, the Early Morning Scoop, from the Early Morning Scoop. So, yeah, so the story looking at the African Union vision, by 2025, the African Union's vision of hunger-free continent actually remained unfulfilled as million of people on the continent continue to face acute food insecurity driven by socioeconomic and environmental crisis. So that's a study that we're going to look at because, they failed. Absolutely failed. And we're going to look at why. Why have they failed? So that's a story that we're going to look at. But we're also going to complement that with the Namibia. Namibia is actually prioritizing the expansion of its local agricultural sector and land reform initiatives, actually to reduce its heavy reliance on foreign food imports. So that's another story that we're going to look at. All right, as you see, this is very, 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 very important. It's about our food security. And let's get into that after this.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. Good morning, and welcome. Make sure that you, if you're in an area where you cannot hear us on the radio, make sure that you download your Eagle FM mobile app. So then you can tune in anytime, wherever you find yourself. And the other thing is also you can listen to Eagle FM through your through our website live from our website. You can also do that. So you're not locked outside. So there are other options that you can always take. So good morning, Namibia, and you are locked into Unpacking the Day. And today, there's something that I want to do. I'm not in the mood to dance around the truth now. Okay. So I'm not really in the mood to dance around the truth. So buckle up. So you must buckle up really. So let me ask you something. Okay. So let me ask you something. This is a story yesterday. So yesterday's in addition. It's a story by David Shombe in yesterday's edition of The Villager. So let me ask you. Let me ask you something. If I borrow you money from, if I borrow money from you in 2014, okay, I borrow you money in 2014 and promise to pay you back by 2025. And today, in 2026, I show up empty-handed with a lot of excuses. Show up, and I'm making excuses. What would you call me? I show up now. I promise you that by 2025, I will actually pay you all your money, you know, and then I show up on the 2026 and I'm saving excuses. I'm handing it, you know, show up empty-handed with a long list of excuses. What would you call me? What would you call me? Of course, a liar. First of all, it's a liar. All right. First of all, you call me a con man. You can also call me a con man because I conned you. You know, and a failure. One thing, maybe, it's just that I couldn't do what I said I would do. So it's a failure. You're a failure. You know, I'm a failure. Now hold that feeling. So hold that feeling, because that is exactly what the African Union has done to 1.4 billion Africans. That's what they have done to us. So 11 years ago, our presidents, I'm not talking our president here, only our president, I'm talking our president in a continent, sat in Malabo. That's Equatorial Guinea. They sat in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea. They put pen on paper. They told the world that by 2025, no African would go to bed hungry. That's what they said. By 2025, no African would go to bed hungry. Big speeches, big shake hands, then they shake big cameras around. Seriously, today as we speak, over 307 million African are starving. And that is, if you put that in numbers, that's one in every five people on this continent. One. Okay, statistically, one in every five people on the continent. Now, guys, so tell me, was that a promise, or was it just, you know, a political performance? Now, why? Now, when people making, this is something that they promised. There's something they signed for. That by 2025, it's the same thing with silencing the gun. You remember with silencing the gun? Was it 2022 or 2021? Silencing the gun. Has the gun silenced? They failed. They keep failing. The African leaders keep failing. Now, this is very important. Hunger is very important, you know. So, now, stay with me, because we are pulling this whole story apart today, okay? We're going to pull this whole, no sugarcoating, no diplomacy, just the truth, just the truth. It is, you know, as I said, this is a story. Our analysis based on the story, you know, by David Chombe in yesterday edition of The Villager. So, all right, now, let me take you back. I'm going to take you back now to 2014. As I said, the Malampo Declaration. There's that declaration. Every African head of state signed it. Every African state head of state. Yeah, they signed it. They committed to spending, and this is what they committed to. They committed to spending about 10% of national budget on agriculture. Since then, 10% of national budget in their own country. On agriculture, they promised to end hunger. So we're going to end hunger. They promised food security for every child, every grandma, every farmer. That's what they promised. So now you have to ask yourself now, as a citizen of this country, so do political promises actually mean anything? Should we take seriously political promise? When somebody make a political promise, should we take them seriously? Now, here is the dirty little secret, and nobody wants to say out loud. I'm also not going to say it aloud. Okay? This is a dirty little secret. Nobody wants to say it. Most of the African country, okay, I'm not gonna shout this. Most of the African countries never even hit that 10% target. Not even close. Yeah? The promise was already dead on arrival before even they get into Malabo. Yeah? The promise was already dead. Most African countries never even hit that 10%. The target, 10% in their own country. So, And while our leaders were busy, you know, taking selfies at AU Summit, by 2014, yeah, 2014, they still have cell phones, yeah. Maybe with, by 2014, they still have cell phones. So, taking selfies at AU, what happened? What happened on the ground? What was happening on the ground? Just think a mother in Omsati, for example. Just think of a mother in Omsati. Her mahangu field is cracked dry. You know, her goats, Kombovan, you know, they are, her goats are bones, you know. Vangonege. You know, her child hasn't had a proper meal in 3 days. Yeah. I'm just talking, while now they are taking selfies in Malabo, you know, this is what's happening on the ground. Yeah. Of course, she didn't sign the Malabo Declaration, but she is one paying for it, for its failure, because of its failure, she's the one who's paying for it. Yeah. She's paying for the failure of these guys. We are paying for the failure of these guys. Yeah. Now, here's this. I want you to hear this. Globally, hunger is falling. Eh? Globally, hunger is falling. Asia is feeding more people. The continent of Asia is feeding more people. Latin America is feeding more people. Even part of Middle East are improving. But Africa is the only continent where hunger is going up. We are the only continent where hunger is going up. Check your WHO report. We are the only continent. Eh? I want you to hear this more time. We are the only continent where hunger is going up. Read that again. The whole world is moving forward. Eh? In terms of hunger, the whole world is moving forward. We are walking backwards. Like everything anyway. Eh? Like everything. Eh? When you look at, in each of us, in each of our countries, there aren't countries that are, when we're talking about economic growth, that happened, but the economic development, we are walking backwards. You know? We're walking backwards. So I want to know, who is accountable? So, who is accountable? Who are actually losing their job because they haven't actually, when these promises are done, who is losing their job because they haven't done their job? Who's actually facing the public and say, well, I have failed, or we have failed? Nobody. We're going to continue.
Great news. IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMPA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMPA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back, and a very good morning to you. Yeah, we're talking about the African leaders, signed to end hunger. Am I right? To end hunger in Africa by 2025, and they failed miserably. They failed miserably, terribly. And who's accountable? Who's accountable? And this is also something, they failed miserably, but we as African, we continue actually to electing these failing leaders that were failures. What kind of people are we anyway? Yeah, there's a story, not a story, Themba Kwane, is Themba Kwane? That guy from South Africa, that business guy, Themba Kwane? I'm not too sure whether I'm getting it right, Themba Kwane. So he said, we African actually vote leaders that cannot produce, you know? They cannot produce. And we're expecting that when they get into government, so for even in their own life, before maybe you have voted, they haven't done anything. Eh? They cannot knock a tax shop. He hasn't even got a tax shop. And then you expect that now that's the guy that's going to actually change everything. He doesn't even have anything. And actually, once they get into the government, they started to grab everything. They started to grab land. They started to, you know. They failed. Yeah? Whoever is listening, so maybe not you now who are in the government now, but, you know, leaders have failed. Africans have failed the continent. So, and I said, who is accountable? Eh? They don't lose their job. They don't face the public and said, we failed. No, nobody. Eh? That's who. Eh? They keep their salaries. They keep their motorcades, you know. Eh? They still keep their motorcades. They keep their, some of them, they have been there for 30 years or 40 years. Eh? So they keep their imported, you know, imported wine. Of course they have, you know, there's entertainment, you know, privileges. Eh? They have now, they even imported wine, you know, they import wine. And if you look, for example, if you think of the child in Kavango or anywhere, eh, keeps going to bed hungry, or in Gobabis. You remember last year, a year before that, last year, you know, about 200 people, about 200, I remember actually, not last year, a year before that as well. So, you know, children died of malnutrition. And I even remember talking to PM, governor, you know. So, they keep their salaries, they keep their motorcades, you know, they keep their, you know, entertainment, you know, privileges. Eh? But we have actually people dying of malnutrition. That should make you angry. Does that make you angry? It should. The reason why I'm putting it this way, I want to make you angry. Eh? I want to make you angry about it. If you are, and you should, that's good. All right, that's good. Now let's hit the. I'm gonna hit you with now the cold hard data. You know, so now let's get into that. I always use numbers. Numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. So, the African Center for Strategic Studies, okay, says 169 million Africans are facing acute food insecurity in 2025. 167 million Africans are facing acute food security in 2025. Not a bit hungry. It's kind of like, oh, there are people. We're talking about emergency level hunger. Emergency level hunger. That's what we're talking about. Okay? That's what we're talking about here. It's not that, yeah, no, there's people that are a bit hungry or something. No. All right? And 700,000 people are staring famine straight in the face. Now, this is now, you know, famine we're talking about, that's the level where the child die in their mother's arm. You know, you can read that in African Center. Okay? So, where a child die in their mother's arms. You see, the thing is here, you know, you are where you are. Every day, you know, you go to work, you come back, you follow the same routine. But I can tell you, there are people that are facing famine straight in their face. Yeah? And you'll be surprised that that's also happening here. You're absolutely surprised that it's happening here. So in Madagascar, around 8,000 children were rushed into a specialist health center for acute malnutrition. Acute malnutrition. When acute is that you are on the brim of death. So in Malawi, harvest collapsed. In South Sudan, 28,000 people are in extreme hunger right now. Extreme hunger. They have failed. They have failed us. So, and I'm gonna throw some hard question to you. Okay, is this now? Think about this. Is this now? When you look at this, is this a good? Is this a food problem? Is this a food problem or is this a leadership problem? So, what do you think? Is this a food problem or is it a leadership problem? Because we have plenty of land, arable land in Africa. And we have terrible, horrible, I think it's a leadership problem. I leave it up to you. So when you come through later on, when the line is open, please ask that the question: is this a food problem or is this a leadership problem? Because here, what nobody on the news want to say, this is not something you will hear on the news. Africa has more arable land than any other continent on earth. We have more arable land than any other continent on planet earth. We have rivers and we have the sunlight, 12 months a year. It's not like other continents. 12 months throughout the year. And the other things that we boast about, we are a young, energetic population. We have a young, energetic population. So we have everything. If we have young, energetic population, so why are we hungry? We have then young, energetic population. Then why are we hungry? Why are we hungry? If we have all this, we have the land. We have more arable land than any other continent. So we have the rivers. We have water, and we have the sunshine, we have the sunlight 12 months throughout the year. So we have young, energetic population. We have everything to prosper. So why are we hungry? Why are we hungry? Africa, wake up. Ons moet wakker word. I'm going to tell you why. Three reasons. And none of them are actually pretty. Three reasons why we are hungry. Why we are in a situation why we are in. Now, reason number one. Dashiti awi give to a halo ha hololo onjebo shidrifetemo. Our leader chooses guns over plows. Atu holo onjebo shidrifetemo. What do we choose? We choose guns. Over plows. Well, look around. Sudan is on fire. The DRC is bleeding. The Sahel is a war zone. Somalia is a graveyard. So five conflict zones produce most of Africa's hunger, according to the report. Five conflict zones produce most of Africa's hunger. So we choose gun over plow. So we choose hatoro njebo rather than etemo. And those wars, many of them are funded by African elites. Funded by African elites, fighting over power and resources while their people are starved. That's horrible. That's our leader. Now, reason number two. Reason number two, climate is climate is really rewriting the contract. it's rewriting the contract. Okay? So right here in Namibia, even in Namibia, we knew this. Like last year, or 2024, drought was the worst in 100 years. Okay? It was worse in 100 years. The government had to declare a state of emergency. Remember, there was a state of emergency. Wheat production at Hardap collapsed by 83.7 in one season. 83.7 in one season. Eh? And the question is, that happened in 2025, okay, in 2024. And what is our long-term plan? Do you know what is our long-term plan is? Do you know what is our long-term plan? Pray for rain. That's our long-term plan. Pray for rain. Yeah? And I'm not joking that, you know, you shouldn't pray for rain, but that's our long-term plan. That's our
Kwetwende pimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahi tatuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o liari. Eagle FM, the eye.
Alright, welcome back. Now, we got to reason number three. And I said, if you get this right, I'm putting up a price. If you get this right, you know. Reason number three is, you know, debt. Eh? Debt is strangling. You strangle, yeah? Strangling us. It's choking us. We are being choked by debt. Every year, African government is sending billion back to the World Bank and IMF. Every year, billions. We're talking about billions. Money that could then build dams, you know, for water. We're talking about earth dams in Namibia. Money that could actually buy seed. You know, we're talking about agriculture. We're talking about food security. Yeah? So money that could actually feed children. So what do? We send billions, you know, back to the World Bank and an IMF. Yeah? So instead, the money actually flows to creditors in Washington, you know, in Frankfurt, and other creditors. So, and what do? They lecture us. They lecture us about good governance, while actually at the same time bleeding us. They are bleeding us dry. So tell me, who is the real thief here now? They are the thief. But this is another reason, my friend. That's the other reasons. So there's also a story. Now let's talk about Uncle Sam. Do you know who's Uncle Sam? We don't talk about Uncle Sam. We don't talk about Sam Nujoma. We talk about Uncle Sam because in 2021, America, okay? America is Uncle Sam, you know? Because in 2025, the United States under Trump administration took a sledgehammer. What did they do? He took a sledgehammer and hit the USAID. The USAID, it was helping. The USAID was, it has been helping for years when it comes to food security, when it comes to, you know, addressing hunger. USAID has been really, really, really helping. But Trump administration decided, you are even giving food money to terrorists. Yeah? So you're giving people to, you fed people, you know, who will be coming to kill us. What kind of logic is that? That's Trump saying, well, we can't feed people who come we make them look good and fat and energetic, and they turn around and come and kill us. So we need to stop that. So that's why, you know, Trump put a stop to it, you know, that USAID, no more. Yeah, the program frozen, you know. Now community, we used to have those community kitchen, you know, they get locked up. Therapy, you know, remember those therapeutic food? They were those therapeutic food, the kind that brings a starving back, you know, a starving baby back from that brink in 72 hours, you know. There was those therapeutic food. You know, I remember when I was working with Family Health, yeah, Population Service International. You know, there was that kind of food, therapeutic food. So all these things come to a standstill, stop. So sometimes some of them actually left rotting in warehouses while the other thing is while then children actually died waiting, you know. So because that just happened like that, it just happened, boom, you know. It's a story. There was actually a story in a Washington Post talking about, you know, you know, how the warehouses children are dying because of that sudden stop, moratorium. How do you call that? That moratorium on aid. So yeah. So and also Reuters reported that in Kenya, for example, the help arrived too late. For some kids, there was a report like that too. That is too late. So, yeah, UNICEF, the UNICEF says nearly, if you look at some UNICEF report, it said nearly 15 million mothers and children are now.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and...
All right. Okay, now, I have to attend to someone quickly. So, all right, so UNICEF says nearly 15 million mothers, 15 million mothers and children are now at risk because of these cuts, and because of this cut that America actually, you know, did. So now, maybe the question is, should we be angry actually at Washington? Should we? Should we be angry at Washington? No. Yes, we should be. Absolutely. Why? That decision was cruel. I think it was cruel. So that decision was cruel. We should be actually mad. That decision was political. Eh? That decision like that cost lives. I mean, if we have been depending on you, come on, warn us a little bit for quite a while that, okay, in 2 years or 3 years, I'm going to cut, you know, my support for you, my aid for you, you know? And at least we can prepare ourselves. And the other thing is that we will just be comfortable that Uncle Sam is there. Uncle Sam is there, you know, every year Uncle Sam is there, that we don't even use our own resources anymore. Eh? And that's the question I want to ask. One that really, 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 really stink, that why on God's green earth does the survival of African children depend on a vote in a country 12,000 kilometers away? Why? Why our survival actually depend on that? Think about that. One election in Washington, and our babies stop eating. Excuse me. Just one election in Washington, and then boom, our babies stop eating. We stop eating. Eh? What kind of independence is that? No, seriously, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of independence is that? What kind of sovereignty is that? Eh? So the reason that we celebrate our flags every March 21st and we sing our anthems, eh? We talk about Pan-Africanism, but when the donor check stops, our food system collapses overnight. Overnight. Well, that's not independence. That absolutely no independence. That's a fancy form of dependence with a flag on top. Basically, that's it. Yeah? And our leader knew this. They knew. They knew it for years, for many decades. And they did absolutely nothing. Eh? They did absolutely zero. Nada. Nothing. Eh? They did nothing. And also, remember the HIV antiretroviral, the issue that we were talking about yesterday, a shortage of medicines, and especially the antiretroviral. It was under US aid. Eh? The reason sometimes when we have this problem, our government, we're they got everything. Eh? So that's the consequences of what we're feeling now. It is the consequences of what we're feeling. Let's come home. Let's get home. Because some of you some of you that are listening are thinking, but that's other countries, man. That's Sudan, that DRC, Somalia, not us. You know, because I mentioned, you know, as I said earlier, wake up, man. Eh? Wake up. You must wake up. Eh? Wake up. So, because I want you to look at this, okay? I want you to look at this. The reason why I said wake up is because Namibia, our economy itself, from the if you look at the report, recent report, our economy grew under 3% between 24 to 25. 3%. Eh? The economy grew under 3% between 24 to 25. That is not growth. Okay, economically, you know, they can say that even if it's 0.1, they will tell you that's economically, that's actually growth. But that is not growth. My friend, that's not growth. And economists tell you that it's, how is that used to? Trading, you know, trading water. Yeah. And that's the problem, that is not enough to create jobs. That kind of growth is not enough to create job, not enough to lift a single family out of poverty. That's why when the recent UN, you know, report, our poverty index actually went up 27 or something like that, 27 or 57 or something like that. I can't remember now on top of my head. It went up. Yeah. That growth is not enough. That's not growth that can help you to create jobs or get you out of poverty. Yeah. So our agriculture, our parliament, Parliament's Agriculture Committee has been investigating food security as a strategic, you know, priority, because it is in our NDP6. So the IPC, I'm not talking about the IPC, the political party. This is the measurement that this is a food security classification. So the food security classification projected the situation to worsen through the lean seasons. Yeah. So we're not getting better even in terms of in Namibia now, in terms of this. Eh? So I have some uncomfortable question that I would ask you, that I want you to think about. Okay? And I want our leaders listening to feel them. You know, if you are a leader, you are in a parliament, you make law, and you are in a position of leaders, I want you to feel these questions. Okay? So, Namibia import the bark of what we eat. What we eat in Namibia, the bark of it, we actually import it. Maize from South Africa, wheat from Russia, rice from Asia, you know. If one ship gets stuck in, in Suez Canal, one of those ships just, South Africa is not on the other side. So if it just gets stuck in the Suez Canal, I can tell you we go hungry. We go hungry. Is that food security or food, how would I put? Food roulette. You know the Russian roulette, that gun? You know, you put a bullet in and then you know, when you want to settle some dispute, this is cowboy kind of style. You know, when you settle some bullet, you put a bullet and it's called a Russian roulette. You know, then you roll it and then you try to shoot yourself, hoping that it's not in the right chamber. You know, that's what we're doing. This is exactly what we're doing, this food roulette. Yeah? Because if anything happened to, maybe, sometimes it doesn't have to be that the issues that is happening now in Suez Canal or in a Strait of Hormuz. So, if anything happened, they decided maybe they have their drought, they have their own drought in their own country. So what happened? We're looking at them kind of like, hey, what happened? What happened? Yeah? It's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Yeah? That is not food security. That's food roulette. Yeah? So, the second question. We're talking about green schemes. Read the story. The story talk about also the green scheme project along the Kavango and the Orange. Normally we talk about the Kavango and the Orange River. Billions of dollars that went into that. Now, and this has been years of promise. This is not just coming with Netumbo. Eh? This is not just coming with Netumbo. And sometimes we kind of like energize and forget that it's coming years ago, decades of years. It's not about 3 years or 4 years or 5 years ago. We talk about decades of years. Eh? Decades of promise. Where is the harvest? Where is the accountability? Or did those projects actually feed politicians instead of people? Do they feed politicians instead of people? So we still, No, seriously. You're most welcome to come through now, so you can come through if you want to contribute and want to, you know, to share as well, and or react to some of the things that I'm bringing you. So 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So come through if you wanna contribute to hunger. To hunger in Africa. So if you want to contribute to hunger in Africa. So it's a promise made by our leaders that by 2025, they will end hunger, and they failed. Absolutely failed. And they are not just failed on a continental level, they are also failing in their own countries. And it's clear, we are also failing here with food security. And we're not actually talking. We should be talking about food roulette, not food security. Okay? Now, question two. The green scheme. That's question two I have asked already. So, now, question three is, when drought relief is announced from Windhoek, okay? Where everything is announced in Windhoek. And we're all looking at Windhoek. Yeah. So, sometimes you ask, you know, how much actually reaches the grandmother in Epukiro? How much reaches the grandmother in Epukiro? Or does it disappear between the ministry and the village? So many things happen between what happened from the ministry to the village during the time. So a lot happened. A lot disappeared during that period. It's the same thing of the tablet that we, medicine that we're talking about yesterday. So from the central medical store to the clinic, you know, in that process, between the central medical store and the clinic, a lot disappear. A lot disappear. And my question number four, and we have thousands of unemployed graduates. Yeah? We have empty arable land. Thousands of unemployed graduates. And then you have empty arable land. Why? You know, it's like, why is agriculture still treated like it's like a punishment for failing matric. You know, this is like a punishment for failing matric or for failing grade 12. No, grade 12 doesn't sound the way we used to sound, to, you know, punishing for failing matric. Eh? Instead of actually like, this is a serious career. Why? Whose interest are we, you know, does that actually serve? I'm talking about the unemployed graduate, and we have an empty arable land. We're talking about food security. Yeah? Why don't we take all of them, you know, and put up, you know, massive project. Maybe rice project, you know, wheat project, you know, potato project, whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah. I remember the Minister of Urban talking about work for food. That's a project that is actually starting, work for food, you know. Actually, let them work for their own food. We have so much land. Yeah? Why don't we create those projects where you work in that land, you create food, and the food is for yourself, and you get a little bit of yourself, rather than handing over, you know, that like what we have been doing. Yeah? Guys, the line is open, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So, and to my fellow Namibians, I'll say this. We cannot keep blaming the weather, blaming the AU, blaming Washington, blaming colonialism for everything. You know? We can't keep doing that. Yeah? And sometimes when our politicians have nothing to say, then they jump to, you know, when are we going to take responsibility? That now it is in my hand, let me do something. Some of these failures are happening on our watch. Eh? They are happening on our watch. In our generation, with our taxes, eh? With our taxpayers' money. So either we own it, either we own it, or we keep starving with a style. You can starve with the style. That's what we are doing. All right. 0833-66091. 0833-66091. So, now, let me push back a little bit, okay? On a few things. Because that's what we do here, okay? That's basically what we do here. Now, there is this comfortable narrative around that says it's all Trump's fault. No hunger. No. No. Hunger in Africa was rising sharply since 2015. Since 2015, long before actually Trump for second terms. Now, American aid cut poured petrol on the fire. Okay? Something that always was already developing. When that happened, it actually made it worse. But the fire was already burning. It was already burning. It was lit by us. We started the fire. Okay? Mense, we started the fire. Secondly, and this one is going to make some NGOs uncomfortable. You know, decades of food aid may have actually killed African agriculture because we became dependent. So that has killed. Well, they jump on opportunity where we're like, okay, there are people that are actually dying of hunger, but what did it do? We then our focus, when we then we sit down and waiting. We sit down and wait. And much of our approach is not really like how we grew up. We didn't actually take the ethos that when we grew up, where work hard, you know, sweat. It's also in the Bible. Sweat for your food. No. We then get into the government must provide. Sometimes that's the attitude. The government must provide. And you don't know where, how do they will provide. So somehow the years of aid, food aid, may actually have actually killed African agriculture. Because, well, if we don't, Nginam Jasha, Oshige, Oshikwashke, Oshikoposhiri, you know, you go for free relief food. The relief food are there. Okay, if Mepchanginam Jesha, then you go to the program. So when free American grain flooded our market, the local farm in Otavi, you know, cannot compete. They cannot compete. He goes broke. He gives up. And of course, then his children move to the city. So the land lies fallow. And the next year, we need more aid. And it's a vicious circle. Then it becomes a vicious circle. Aid as a charity becomes aid as an addiction. It became as an addiction. We get used to the aid. We get addicted to the aid. So let me pull this. Let me pull it bluntly here. Now, people who claim... Okay? No, seriously, we have to think, you have to think this a little bit deeper, so that people who claim to be saving Africa from hunger may also be the one keeping us hungry. Yeah, because you become dependent on them. The people who claim to be saving Africa from hunger may also have been the one actually keeping us hungry. Because we have been, becomes aid addicted. We become, aid has become addiction. So it's like someone who've, you know, it's not that technically they are making you. So if you become addicted to the alcohol, the person that's feeding you alcohol, actually, he's actually kind of like, he's doing you good because you're enjoying the alcohol, but actually you become addicted. So you actually keep coming. It's exactly the same thing. And that's the conversation our leader are coward, are too coward, you know, to have. No, seriously. But we will have it right here, right now. We will have it. No, so do come through. Talk to me. Talk to Namibia. Talk to our listeners here. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. All right.
Omutiha, we take your kaguna, e matina, omjo. Chikao shafa, sanana, longeshifa, ya, shiwike moshiwana. E moyao, o taingo gotisamwene. Anageshifa, ya Namibia, ombitom banawa, orangeka. Seithanina omayakuro ni randitoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tine meha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, that's true. This is the eye. This is Eagle FM. That's your number one talk radio station. And you don't want to talk? I'm giving you that platform for you to talk. Come through and talk. Okay, what is your reaction? What is your contribution? Okay, now, so let's lock this in. You know, what have we talked about? What really just maybe rounding off of basically what we discussed. So the African, you know, the African Union promised in 2014 to end hunger by 2025. And they failed spectacularly. Yeah, spectacularly, you know, or terribly. They really failed. And we should be really, you know, hold them accountable. I don't know, each one in your own country, if you're listening anywhere. Now, 307 million Africans are still hungry as we speak. And nobody's being held accountable. They make promises, and then they forget it, they come again, they make another ones, and, well, nobody holds them accountable. And we deserve that, probably. Yeah? Sometimes, you know, sometimes a person who's sitting on, and sometimes you kind of like, when we cry to the world for aid, when we find ourselves in a situation, so sometimes the world should just say, we're not going to give you anything. Yeah? But the world is actually clever. They come and give you aid and we give something. We always give something. Yeah? So this donation and whatever, those are just token of, okay, guys, take this because you've given us the mine. Yeah? You have given us the mine. So, yeah, now we're going to help you with food. Food is nothing for us. Yeah? And some of those... maybe not in terms of population, geographically, some of those countries are smaller countries than compared to Namibia. Eh? Countries that actually come to our aid are smaller country land-wise than Namibia. It's shame. It's absolute shame. So Africa is the only continent where hunger is rising. Other continents are everywhere else in the world. People are eating better. They're eating better. Africa is the only continent where hunger is rising. And that is not a bad luck. So kind of like, that's a bad luck for us. No, that's a bad leadership. Absolutely. That's a bad leadership. All right? And conflict, climate, crippling debt, and aid cuts, you know, those three things. You know, those four horsemen of this crisis. Those are the four horsemen of this crisis. Conflict that we see in some part of our region, some region in Africa. Climate, with that one we are experiencing even here in Namibia. Crippling debt, that we also have experienced here. Aid cut, we experience here. So, those are four horsemen of this crisis. And our leaders have been asleep. They have been asleep at the wheel while the wagon burns. The wagon was burned and they're just asleep. They're just asleep. They don't see the wagon burning. Yeah? They don't see the wagon burning. And they are caught with their pens down. So, and we're exposed. We are exposed. Namibia is exposed. Our 2024 drought wiped out wheat production by 83%. Yeah. In Hardap, away. 83%. Our growth is too weak. Yeah. It's too weak. Our food import are too higher. That tells you everything. That tells you everything. Our policies are too slow. When there's a complaint all the time, eh? Our policies are too low. They are toothless. The deepest question is not why did the AU fail? That's not the deepest question. That's not the deepest question. The deepest question is, why did we ever hand the key to our stomach to other people? That means we're handing a key to our stomach to other people. So other people now decide for our stomach. Eh? That's what we did. Until we answer that question honestly, no declaration we make, no summit that are going on, ever going on now and then, summit, no donor check, you know, is actually going to save us. Eh? Nothing going to save us. So tell me, Namibia, are you angry yet? I wanted to make you angry, you know. Are you angry yet? Are you ready to demand more? Because you deserve more. Or are we going to keep clapping, every time clapping at airports, every time a leader flies home from another summit with another empty promises? Eh? They come from summit, yeah, that we said it, and we clap hands. It's another empty promises. We need to see change. And that has to happen now. 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So come through and have your say. Have your say waiting for you.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. Well, the phone is open. And, don't hold back, come through, because hunger is not a statistic in a UN report. It's not just, it's a UN report somewhere. No, it's something that we experience on day-to-day basis. Hunger is the silence, you know, in a child's stomach. Hunger is the dignity. We surrender every time. We say, there's nothing we can do, you know. There's nothing we can do. All right. There's plenty we can do. Okay? We just have to stop being polite about it. Okay? We have been polite enough. We just have to stop being polite about it. 08-333-66-091 is the number if you would like, you know, to react to that and also contribute. All right. So, and if not, okay, the train is on the move. The train is on the move. You know, we keep moving. So, all right, welcome. Let's get to something else. And so in this segment now, okay, we talk about a critical issue, which is actually basically the same thing. It's just we support it, kind of like support to what we are talking about. We're talking about a critical issue facing our country, the need to reduce our reliance on imported food and boost local agriculture. Okay? That's basically what we're trying to address, our failure. Okay? we fail to create food security. We fail to actually create environment, to create food security, food security for our people. And these are some of the attempt. So the ambition, it is an ambitious plan. It's an ambitious plan. The target is also to keep coming. The target is 2030. I always say 2030. So the target is 2030, and that's 4 years away. But can we pull it off? If we haven't done it in how many years, can we pull it off? The agriculture minister, Inge Dhamwami, Dhamwani, has made a call to action. All right. At there was a ministerial workshop in Swakopmund, I think last week, and she's pushing for a massive shift in the way we handle food production in this country. So she's pushing. You see, Namibia import most of its food. We import most of our food, and with the pressure of global environment changes that we see, rising fuel cost, you know, and geopolitical issues. So we are finding ourselves in a very, 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 very vulnerable position. You remember that we back off our food, you know, come from outside. Come from outside. So that makes us vulnerable. It's not in our hands. What we eat is not within our own control. Let's put off that. Let's say about 65% is not within our own control. So, and food security is a really big issue. And sometimes because you go to the shop and you find rice there, you don't have a problem. You go to the shop, you find, you know, the chickens there, you don't complain, you know. Sometimes we think that these things are actually our own. No. Food security is a big issue for Namibia as well. What happened when the global market actually are unstable, as we see, or food prices actually skyrocketing? It's not in your control. And what does that mean for the ordinary, average, you know, Namibian? We end up paying more. We end up paying more at the supermarket. And some people might not be able to afford even a basic necessities. There are a lot of people who are at that stage already. Well, the Mwami's message is clear. So we need to produce more of our own food. Who wouldn't know that actually? So sometimes you come to a point that we know that. We just need what we need to have to make it, to be able to do that. Saying it one thing, but doing it is another. So we come to that point now. Okay, we hear you. Okay, give us the equipment. Give us the land. So the government wants to reduce its reliance on imported food by 2030. But you see, I did again, 2030. By 2030. And they are pushing for faster land reform, you know, now for faster land reform, more irrigation, and stronger focus on sustainable agricultural practices. What is new? There's nothing new there. There's nothing absolutely that's new. But the question is, can we actually do it? Or is this another bold, as we always know, that's another bold promises. Can we do it? Can we do it? Now, think about this way. Okay? I want you to think about this way. Every year, billions of Namibian dollars leave this country to pay for food we could be growing ourselves. Billion. We talk about billions. You know? So the IMF, you know, has warned that Namibia is heavily reliant on import, including fuel, food, fertilizers, everything. There's nothing that we do that we rely on ourselves. Now, when fuel prices spike, you know, globally, when it increases globally, when geopolitical disrupt fertilizers supply chain, when the rent, which we are pegged on, you know, weakens, we feel it at the checkpoint counter. You feel it, I feel it. The mother in Katutula feeding a family of five on a tight budget feel it most. Most of all. She feel it most of all. Now ask yourself this. What happened when South Africa, our biggest supplier, you know, faces its own drought? What happened when the global supply chain choke? As we saw during the COVID, we have seen that in COVID. We were exposed. We are exposed, dangerously exposed. The trade deficit widened to 4.4 billion in November 2025 alone. 4.5 billion in November 2025. Our agricultural production value actually shrank by nearly 9%. Now it's falling from 8.39 billion to 7.64 billion. Everything, we're going down. We are going down. You know, it's looked like everything we are going down. And things that we are going up are not good ones. Are not good ones. All right. So while the minister is talking about expanding local production, the sector, as we see, is literally contracting. It's actually declining. That gap between rhetoric and reality is exactly what should concern every Namibian. That's what should concern you. That's what should concern you. All right, we're going to talk a couple aspect that actually come out of the speech of that minister. So we're going to, when we come back, stay tuned. We'll be back.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetwa weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yo ye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu weri rongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba ona ovyu ne dia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to kwika ovinki nokukara no rupa ondando ya peke yo pianja oshimariva o presente dano komiede vitatu moshimariva o presente umurongo komiede hambu umwe moshimariva o presente mirongo ivari na dano Kumiyeve mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owe uha kainina itako na wina rishangika jinon.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9. We go until 10 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, around 10 o'clock, we'll be handing over to Tate France, Balangaja, hopefully. Make sure that, you know, by the time you tune in also, in that programs. And other programs that are coming your way throughout the day, this morning and the rest of the day. So, yeah. So now let's look at some of the aspect that actually that the minister actually mentioned, and maybe just interrogate that a bit. You know, the government keeps pointing to the green screen at the they keep pointing to the green scheme, you know, as a silver bullet. Okay, it's kind of like a silver bullet. Now this we're talking about irrigation projects meant to boost food production under controlled conditions. Right now, as we speak, there are about 11 green projects covering, you know, this green scheme project, covering roughly 825 hectares. All right? 825 hectares. Now, that is 825 hectares in a country of 825 square kilometer. The target is to put 30,000 hectares under irrigation by 2030. That's the target. So did you check it? Yeah? That's the target. 30,000 hectares under irrigation by 2030. All right. Now, let me do the math for you. So if we need to increase irrigated land by over 36 times in 4 years. If it's 30,000 hectares under irrigation by 2030. So we need to increase irrigated land by over 36 times in 4 years. Now, the Green Scheme project generated just over 60 million in revenue during the last review period. Now, that is a start. Of course, that's a start, but my friend, that's absolutely a drop in a, it's not even a drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the ocean of what we need. Yeah? Absolutely. And here's what really bothers me. The minister says we must strengthen agricultural research, vocational training, and livestock productivity. And she's not wrong. She's not wrong. That's not what bothers me. Okay? She's not wrong. But when the agricultural sector's own production value is shrinking, when primary industries decline by 7.2% in 2025, when GDP growth slowed to just 1.7%, you have to ask, where is the money gonna come from? Simple question. I mean, where is it going to come from? Where is it going to come from? Who is going to train, you know, talking about the other things, who is going to train these farmers? Who is going to fund the research? Who is going to fund the research? Look at the budget. Good intention do not plow fields. Is that a proverb? Good intention doesn't plow field. Well, I just came up with a proverb. Yeah? Good intention doesn't plow field. Make it a proverb. Okay? That's my proverb. Let me just make note of that. That's actually mine. It is mine. I came up with that one. Good intention do not plow fields. Yeah, I came up with that. All right. So, it's a proverb. I created a proverb now. Okay, use that. Okay? But, make sure that you quote me and said, you know, as Mike said, you know, in the proverb that he created, good intention do not plow fields. Yeah. All right? Okay, so, yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I'm not joking about that, you know. So, where is the money going to come from? All good intentions are good. But look at all those kind of things that we're talking about. She also mentioned the other, which is actually always an elephant in the room, something that you always refer, this is an elephant in the room. What is the elephant in the room? Land reform. She talked now. So you have to understand that we cannot talk about food self-sufficiency without talking about land. You can't talk food self-sufficiency without talking about land. And who owns the land? The minister called the minister called for faster land reform implementation. Now, minister, where have you been, really? You're talking for faster land reform implementation. Eh? There have been, a conference, land conferences, and some of those resolutions that have come from those conferences are not even implemented yet. They are not even law yet. Eh? She's talking about a faster land reform implementation and better land management. And she's right. She is right. Eh? I'm not saying she's wrong. She's right. Absolutely, absolutely right. You cannot grow food on land. The other thing is that then you cannot grow food on land you don't have. Eh? So far, 5,580 Namibians have been resettled under the land reform program. So far, 5,580 Namibians under the land reform program. They have been resettled. Now, in 2024-2025 financial year, the government bought 11 farms, covering about 41,000 hectares at the cost of 115 million. That's in 2024-2025. 11 farms. All right? And then this year, 24 farms were acquired for 238 million. Eh? 238 million. That's a movement. You can see something is moving. That's a movement. But the APPR has pointed out something damning. Something very damning. Maybe something we need to pay attention to. Something we need to think seriously about this when it comes also to land reform. We count inputs. When now we're talking about, how many? 11 farms that we have bought. How much we have bought for that. So what I presented, just what I've given you now, we talk about 11 farms. How much did we buy it? 115 million. So we're talking about 24 farms. How much did we buy it? 238 million. So what the IPPR are saying is that we count input, not output. Eh? And that's very, very interesting. Very interesting. Now, we know how much land was bought and how much it costs, but we do not properly track whether resettled farmers are actually producing food. We talk about it. The reasons of that, of actually resettling people, is for food security. But do we track whether resettled farmers are actually producing food? So maybe those were commercial farms that were actually producing food, not only for those people on the farm, but for surrounding areas and supplying to retailers and wholesalers. Maybe it used to produce that. Something that was happened in Zimbabwe when the white were actually, this was what without compensations. And what is happening now, they're even calling there from Britain, come, because they couldn't produce. And it's the same thing in South Africa. Some black people, because under BEE, take on those farms and they didn't produce anything. Same thing here. There are those who have taken on some farms that used to be very productive. They are sitting on it, doing absolutely nothing. It's just their places to hang over the weekend. And, I was on the farm. And what is coming on that farm? You occupy a huge land that is unproductive. Eh? You occupy a huge land. That could be. We're talking about Africa, when we were talking about African, that, we have arable land and we have energetic youth, unemployed youth. And you are on a land that is arable, eh? Which you're not using for anything. But for your weekends, just to, I was on the farm during the weekend. That's all. That's for just for your entertainment. And now you kind of talking. Now you wonder why we are hungry? You are the problem. You are the problem. So the question is, are these farm productive? That's what the IPP are asking. We count input and not output. Are these farms where we resettle for people productive? Are they contributing to food security? Do they fit in an overall goal? What is your overall goal by doing this? Or are we just moving people onto the land without the support they need to succeed? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I didn't hear, but I can hear you now. Yeah.
Mike, I want to say something with regards to this. There's another point. You know, you've heard the saying, setting somebody up for failure.
Yeah.
Well, that is an aspect also of this whole thing. When the apartheid government would give farms to, you know, their beneficiaries, they would not just give land. What they would do is they would implement, they would give the land, they would give the seed for the first 3 years, and they would also give farming equipment.
Yeah.
Access to loan and loans and government loans and so on in order to make you a producer. Right? And there would be a government man that would go and he would come and check on you. And he would say, oh, how far are you? What are your challenges? What have you produced?
Yeah.
Tell me, with all of the resettlements, which one of those, which one of these people have ever received a full package like that?
Yeah. There was only one farm that I used to hear. Was it Ongombo or something? I can't remember now. It was, you know, there was one farm which was actually like an example of what when you are when these people are resettled, this is now the example. It was only one farm. I can't remember the name, Ongombo or something like that. Yeah. So, but most of the farms are really exactly is what you're saying. They are put on the farm, but they are not given the means to succeed.
No, they were set up for failure.
Yeah.
Sometimes some of the things that are happening. Some people say that we suffer under neo-colonialism. I think we suffer still under the same colonialism, just in a different form.
Yeah.
Maybe it's new in that it's a new form. But actually, if you want somebody to do something and you are giving them access to a resource that is so vital,
it is your
responsibility to make sure that you don't set them up for failure. Right, that you give them access to the resources and the information and everything, and then you make sure that you also monitor.
Yeah.
Right, if I give you a resettlement farm and I monitor you, I say I'm going to monitor you for until you get to a certain production rate.
Mm.
Right, and if you don't get to that production rate within say 5 years, you will lose the farm, and I will give it to somebody else. That's being responsible.
Yeah. Even when you hear this number of farms, when you hear, the number of farms that has been bought, you would actually think, how big are this farm? And with people actually maybe cultivating and having some crops on those, or maybe livestock farming, there should be something that contributes to the food security that we're talking about, you know?
Exactly. But the person who is giving out the resource, the person that's responsible for the resource is also responsible for to whom they give it and what is done with it. They are then responsible because you said you are giving it.
Yeah.
You spend a certain amount of money to acquire it, and now you are giving it. And if you are giving it, are you just giving it out irresponsibly?
But think
are you not accountable to it as well?
Yeah, but think also in this way. You know, those maybe some of these people might these people might not have actually a land a land of their own where they can actually do something for themselves. But think of now individuals like ministers or government officials who own farms that are not productive. You own a huge amount of land, that is absolutely not productive. Eh?
What is that may be so, but even in that instance where they get farms, unless they outright buy them, if they get a farm, a resettlement farm, right, and the whether he's a government worker or not, whether he's a minister, the president or not, the result should be the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And
yeah.
The one who gave him the farm is, even if he do, whatever, by whatever means he got it, the one who issues him the farm is still responsible. It doesn't matter. Because if we look at, no, this one is a government minister or whatever, that doesn't help our cause. What helps our cause is the effect, the result. If you're a minister and you're a president and you have a farm or whatever it is, and you come out with an etunda or you come out with a whatever, and it produces three tons of maize per year,
yeah,
right? Then we go and we evaluate, is that enough? Did you produce enough? Is it justifiable? And if not, we take back the farm.
Mm.
It doesn't matter who you are, as long as you can produce. We don't care about whether or not it's Sally that has the farm or it's Paul that has the farm.
Yeah.
What we care about is whether the land is productive. That's all we should be worried about. And the Ministry of Land Resettlement, it is their prerogative, it is their mandate to mean to, or it should be. Sometimes we think that these things are straightforward, but then you go and find out it's not their mandate, it's not their prerogative. They've never been told to do that. Like, for instance, the Ministry of Education, the custodian of education in Namibia, does not force every school, whether private or public, to do what? To learn the history of Namibia. They say that's not their problem. To you and me, it is obvious that I'm assuming you also, it is obvious that the history of Namibia should be paramount for our children to learn.
Exactly.
Because why?
Yeah.
How can you learn about the Holocaust of the Jews, but you don't know about the Shark Island genocide that happened on Shark Island to the Hereros? How can you know about what happened to the Greeks, but you know nothing about Kasinga? Kasinga, for instance, for goodness sake. How can you know nothing about these things, but you know everybody else's stuff? So it should be the job and the work of the ministry to ensure what? To ensure that every school, we don't care what curriculum, you can use Cambridge, you can use Charlie Brown's curriculum, but at the end of the day, in history, this is what you should be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That is their prerogative, that is their mandate, that is what they are there for. If they don't do that, they should be disbanded, everybody fired and go home. You're useless.
Yeah, yeah. And those are the things that we need to know. We need to see happening, you know.
So likewise, the Ministry of Lands and Resettlement. Can we not say then, if you are here resettling people, and you don't follow up and you don't make sure that they are productive, you are useless. We should just throw you away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're also the ministry is responsible for that. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you go back and you reevaluate the mandate stipulated to each ministry, you will find out a lot of them are misaligned or totally out of alignment to what actually their purpose is. They are not in alignment with their purpose, and then you expect them to do what? You expect them to perform. It's not in the you never defined their mandate correctly. You misaligned it, or you did not even give them that mandate. For instance, the NHE has houses outside of Sokom. Sokomund, there are a lot of empty houses, right? NHE was a government program, am I correct?
Yeah.
It's a government program. What was its mandate? What was its purpose? Was its purpose to make a profit, or was its purpose to house people?
It's to house people, yeah.
Okay, if its purpose was to house people, that's why it's not a private institution, it's a government
enterprise,
right? If that is the case, then when NHP has houses that are empty, it should be disbanded, all of its officials fired, and start from scratch. Because why? Your mandate, why you were created, you failed to deliver on that. So if there's one house that NHP has built, spend money on, and then it does not have people in there who can't afford a house. Not people who can afford, people who can't afford. Or even anybody, doesn't matter who.
In the first place, why did you build houses that people cannot afford? You're wasting my resources.
But it is better you house people,
yeah,
at a loss, at a financial loss.
Exactly.
Then for you to build houses and nobody stays in them.
Mm.
And now people come and they scavenge the windows, the doors. Go just outside DRC in Swakopmund. You'll find a lot of houses there. They're empty. People have started scavenging the windows, the doors, the plumbing, the sinks.
Yeah.
Why? They're right. They are 100% justified for doing that. You have not fulfilled your mandate. You are the one who is the failure, right? But
yeah, I'm not too 100%. I'm not too sure they're 100% justified to do that.
They are, but in my book, they're justified because right? The resource was allocated by government to NHE. They're in the budget or whatever it was. They got it. They built a house and then they failed to deliver.
Yeah,
the
no, then I understand.
The beneficiaries are the people who are living in the shacks around there. So let them benefit one way or another. So this is the type of mentality that we need to do.
Yeah.
A lot of government institutions and even, what is this thing called? These parastatals. They either have mandates that are misaligned.
Yeah.
Or they've got mandates that are not even there, non-existent. Or they are focusing, the Ministry of
Education. Or they don't understand their mandate. Yeah.
They don't know why they are there.
Yeah.
The people that are sitting, if I come and if I was president for a day, right, there would be a lot of problems in this country.
That's why you won't be.
but you know, the because I would use the scorched earth policy.
Yeah.
What is the scorched earth policy? If it's not working, get rid of it. If it's not working, I would get rid of it.
Yeah,
I would step into NHE and I'll say, how many houses do you have that are not housing anybody at the moment?
Mm.
Give me that. You're even just taking somebody who's in the Kambashu and saying to them, you take this house, this three-bedroom house, and what are you paying right now for where you are renting? No, I'm paying $1,000. You pay that to us now. And at the end of the month, if you haven't paid, if you skip 2 months, we'll come and we'll kick you out and give it to somebody else. The people will pay.
The people will pay. I mean, they used to pay where they are anyway. Yeah.
Exactly. And they will be so grateful because now you've increased the quality of life.
Yeah.
Right? Because now I've moved from a Kambashu where I don't have a toilet, where I've got to go to the dunes in Walvis Bay. We've got to go to the dunes to use the toilet. Now there's a toilet here. I can use this.
Yeah.
Right? I have a benefit. It's something better for me and my children. Those children are going to grow up in a different environment than where they were. So even though if NHE comes and they say, no, we've made a loss, even though you've made a loss, how many people did you house? No, we housed 500,000 people.
Hmm.
Very good. You're going to get something from the budget next year.
Yeah.
But if you come and you say, we've made a loss because nobody's buying our expensive houses.
You actually made a loss and you're making a loss from the loss that you made.
You are still, that's a double loss.
It's a double loss. Yeah.
So those are the things. The reason why people are being given farms and the farms are not productive, it is not the fault of those people.
Yeah.
It is the fault of the people who gave them the farms.
Yeah.
How can you be so unwise?
Yeah.
How can you be so blind to what is clear, evident, and common sense? Everybody, isn't this common sense? Am I talking something? Is this some sort of revelation I'm giving you?
No, it's not. I mean you're just repeating certain things that other people have mentioned. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's common sense, right?
Yeah.
So if they don't have common sense, why should they be allowed to operate?
Yeah.
Why should they be allowed to be employed? Why should they not be fired?
Yeah. I mean, those principles, that principle that I apply on a business environment should be applying to the service in the government as well. So if we can you allow someone who is not actually producing in a business environment? No, you can't. Why would you allow that in a public sector? You know,
it is abomination.
Yeah.
In the private sector, it is an abomination.
Exactly.
You must be fired.
You must be
certain
fired.
Certain people are so lazy, and they are so inept, and they are so incompetent that keeping them employed actually is dangerous for the institution.
Yeah.
You have to fire them.
Yeah.
He who will not work should not eat.
Yeah.
This is something that is evident and it should be clear and it should be some. That's why I say if I was president, they would be scorched earth. A lot of people would be on the street. Why? Because if you don't perform the very basic common thing, yeah. You don't have to be a genius. Very basic common thing. Why should you remain? Because every year that you remain there,
yeah.
Somebody is suffering because
exactly.
of you.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
of your, not just one person, thousands of people are suffering
yeah.
because of your small-mindedness.
Yeah. And this is exactly what is happening. Yeah. We are suffering because of incompetence. Yeah.
Incompetence,
yeah.
laziness, small-mindedness, fearfulness.
Yeah.
They can't even take an executive decision. Right
yeah.
now, this is the kind of things that the people are bringing in. So if that is the case, it is then the responsibility of the president
yeah.
to stand up and say, I can't watch this go on any longer.
Yeah.
I cannot allow this to continue any longer. If I allow this to continue any longer, they are going to, when I leave this chair, they are going to blame me. Right?
Yeah.
There's so much more I want to say, but I can't say.
Yeah, no,
regime.
It's also time.
There's been a regime change, right? We have a new president. The previous regime that we went under, that should have taught us a lot of things. But Namibians don't learn. The electorate does not learn. The electorate is just a follower. They just clap hands, Omake.
What happened
to Omake, by the way? Why don't you say Omake anymore?
the person who championed that is no longer. It's no longer. Yeah. So everyone leave a legacy of their own. Yeah.
The person who championed that was more concerned about putting up a food bank, but he was not concerned with production of food.
Yeah,
you put up a food bank, but there's no production of food.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what do? We have to blame him, even though he was not the one, you know, sitting at that office every day.
Yeah.
He was not the one who was making that executive decision. But we blame him because he was the leader. He's the head. Right?
All right.
So this is the type of things that these guys need to think about. There are a lot of things. There are many, many, many things that are wrong in this situation. And it is actually, I'll tell you why I believe it's happening.
The time is up, man. Yeah.
Just give me one more second.
Okay.
The reason why is because of neo-colonialism, and the Boers always wanted to prove that blacks cannot, what did Botha? Botha in 1986 had a speech, and he said that a black man cannot plan for longer than 6 months. They wanted to prove that black men cannot govern themselves.
Mm.
We cannot do these things ourselves. And they behind the scenes, I believe that they are actually working to prove that to us, to say, you see, you
yeah.
cannot govern yourself. You cannot, you know, you should be under our colonial rule so that we can govern you.
Mm.
I think that's the agenda with AfriForum and all the others that are like them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Maybe he was right.
No, he was wrong. He was 100% wrong.
I'm just kidding.
If they had not messed with these things, they would not be correct.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
You're being facetious, yeah. No problem.
All right. Great, man.
Okay.
Thanks for coming through.
Bye.
All right. So we haven't heard from Anonymous for quite a while. All right. It's good to have him on. Yeah. So, yeah, that's actually bringing us to the end. The end of our unpacking the day. So, here's what we need to take away from this segment. The first Namibia import about two-thirds of its cereal, all our cereal, and we only meet 20% of its own grain demand locally. That's all what we do. So that's a national security risk dressed up as a trade statistics, definitely. So secondly, the green scheme and land reform are right policies. They are right policies on paper, but execution is lagging badly. This is coming from it's not just something that now we wake up now and see this is a problem. It's something that is coming far away. So we need 36 times more irrigated land by 2030. And we are nowhere near that pace. We aren't. We are not at all. And thirdly, the agricultural sector is shrinking in value. while the government is actually promising now expansion. So that contraction must be resolved. We need to resolve that contraction. So, and fourth, this affects you directly. Your food bill, your job prospect, your country's economy, resilience, they're all right on where, on whether we can finally grow what we eat. Eh? So it's right on that. So, yeah, and so I put it to you, Namibia, is the 2030 food self-sufficiency target a real plan or a political dream, as it has been? Eh? And are we willing to invest what it takes? That's now the question. Are we willing to invest what it takes, or are we going to keep talking while our plates stay full of imported food? Because our plate at the moment, they are full of imported plate. So let's debate this, okay? Because the cost of doing nothing, okay? The cost of doing nothing is coming out of your pocket. It's coming out of your pocket every single day. When you do nothing, well, you will feel it in your pocket. So, yeah, that bring us to the end of our of unpacking. Thank you for those who come through. And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. And let's keep listening. This Kutha Mosha is coming up. And normally that program is stuffed. All right? It's stuffed with a lot. So make sure that you stay tuned for Tate France. And Mbarangaja coming up with Kutha Mosha after this. So stay tuned. Let's do this tomorrow again. It's a goodbye for me. Until tomorrow.